Bob Hughes and I got up early in the morning to attempt in sound to get across an impression, and we hope you will understand what we're trying to do here. But give a listen to this, and then we will be speaking to the man.
On the go from Roscoe.
Oh, come on.
It was a very good year. It was a very good year.
Let me put it to you this way. If you're hip, you know where it's at, and that sort of tells the whole story. Our man on mic today, Roscoe. And, Roscoe, what's new?
What's new? let me see, a clean, unemployed feeling.
Oh, I wouldn't put it that way. I know that, you know, all the people in the world who care, and there are a lot of them in New York who have learned to care in the past 12 months. Let's just assume that there was homework to do on Monday, or that maybe Johnny Carson had an extraordinary guest list that people didn't want to miss. And in many cases, a good number of the loyal people might not have had their radios tuned, so that when they woke up on Tuesday morning and, you know, heard the news with the morning paper, or had somebody call them up at 1 in the morning Monday night, or however the news came about, the story, I am sure, could not be clear unless it were told by the person who knows best what happened.
Well, first of all, why I'm no longer at WRFM and why I resigned, I think... I don't remember what I said, but I remember the feeling, and the feeling was, how long are you going to remain here, fighting something before you be fighting against something before you become a part of it, even subconsciously, and I decided that. That it should be now, and it happened to be that Monday night, of saying that I no longer wanted to be a part of it, a part of a change that had taken place. And when I say feeling, it was emphasized more because when I remembered how we started out with management at WRFM, we started out a year ago just about this time, October 8th,
as a matter
of fact.
October 8th, which is tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm, that's right. And when I remember that, that made me just a little bit more emphatic about not wanting to remain a part of what we had changed into. The reasons for it, the reasons for the change, the only way I can put it is maybe perhaps as I said the other night, and as I've thought about it so many times, it was like being married to a very faithful woman. Being WRFM management, the original concept and everything, being married to her, and then suddenly the playboy entered in, the third party or the pimp or whatever you want to call him, and he started romancing her and sold her a bill of goods. She has to be guilty for being affected by it, and surely the third party has to be completely guilty for even interfering with that particular household. Mm-hmm. So what do you do in a case like that? You have understanding for the faithful wife or the once faithful wife, but you certainly do object to the third party. It was the third party, and specifically, I mean the consultants headed by, I think, Bill Drake is president of the firm. And it should be explained, because that, like, so many things are happening in a particular station, and the public doesn't have time to really pay attention to the subtleties there, and the machinery, and all of the innuendos, so forth. So I think I should break it down, that WRFM is one separate entity. The consultants is another separate entity. In my opinion, they sold WRFM management a bill of goods, saying that we can make your station this, we can make this, and getting to the practical end of it, they said we could help you to realize, you know, great revenue. Well, that's where I fault management for being sold on that, because we, in taking WRFM and taking an artistic approach, or I don't know whether that's the right word, artistic, I say an honest approach, and presenting to people a broad a field to judge from, to get goodies from, or be entertained from. In doing that, we realize great commercial success. So that to be sold a bill of goods based on that argument, that we could increase your revenue, or we could give you a success that you never realized, is not quite valid. Because of the success we were enjoying. And I think Bob Hughes said it best on the way here. He said, how do you come in on a successful program and say, we can make it successful?
You know? Sort of a contradiction there. It really is.
And the consultants, what do you say? Where do they really manifest themselves? Where do they really show what they were doing? Well, I think for the past 6, 7, or 8 weeks, maybe since July 24th, the obvious changes took place. And when personally, when I asked Guy Mack, who represents the consultants, when I asked him why we're changing, I was told by him that we're not changing. And this was an insult. I was hearing the change, and to be told that there were no changes taking place was, you know, quite ridiculous. And I'm still in a state of shock. The whole attitude of the consultants was so completely different from WRFM management and what we had started out to be. I'm still quite confused by it. I'm not. The great relief I have is that I am no longer a part of it. I should also clarify and explain that, inasmuch as you have so many students here and just people in general who are interested in radio as a career, what I did on the air is a very thin line. I mean, resigning on the air. So I must explain that it was not to embarrass WRFM or embarrass the consultants. Mm-hmm. It was rather to answer questions that I knew would come up. For instance, well, Peter, you and I enjoy a personal friendship. I think that if I had left, if I should leave a circumstance that you and I had become a part of, you would say to me, if I left it without telling you anything, the first thing you would say to me, why didn't you tell me? So I felt that about the listeners, the many friends that I met through WRFM. I felt that they would say, well, why didn't you tell us? Or what did you? Or even to this extent, having not left, if I had changed, they would have said to me, Roscoe, why have you changed? Well, I owe them an explanation. So I felt Monday night that it was one thing to leave and satisfy myself, but it would have been an insult and very disrespectful, I think, to my friends to leave without giving them a reason.
Roscoe, you know, I mean, you just said it. You cannot fool the people who care. Inasmuch as tomorrow would have been Well, it still is. It's an anniversary, but it's even more auspicious now in the sense that there is a loss there. I'll talk more about that in a second. First of all, I want to let the people know where we are and who we are, and I have a record, too, that sort of, you know, sums up the story in music. In New York City, this is WFUV, Fordham University's Voice, 90.7 on your FM radio dial. All of the things that we dumb-dumb idealists dig, you know, everything expressed in that song from Man of La Mancha called The Impossible Dream was given at least a portion of reality since October 8th, 1966, up until the present. And then suddenly, as all true dreams go, you wake up, you know, and you find out that it's just another day and the same problems are still there. I express now a personal opinion, but I am sure it represents a good deal of the feeling that has been generated since Monday night at about, you know, 10 to 11 o'clock. All of the people who cared, in a very selfish sense, will miss you, Roscoe, because that had become a part of our daily life that is just hard to give up. But when you can bury the selfishness, when you can kill the selfish element within you, you realize that the feeling you should have is one of pride and relief. In other words, if there was any true relationship between you and your listeners, which I am sure there was, then we are as happy as you are to see the air cleared.
Thank you. You know, I feel that way. I thought that I would feel very sad afterwards, and I found myself strangely, you know, feeling very, very good. And I think mainly because of the, it was very selfish. What I did was, I think, very, very selfish. There was so much comfort I experienced. I was looking for that comfort because I had felt very uncomfortable when the changes were taking place. So that what I did was, I think, for myself, very selfish, and I'm happy about it.
That's really what counts.
Yes,
know?
Yes, and I just want to emphasize the beauty and the power. So I put beauty and power together. I mean it in this sense that people are beautiful for knowing how to use their power. And if you notice that the listeners, because their reaction to the changes that were taking place will probably cause more than any one individual the airing of things that are wrong in our society. Mm-hmm. In other words, they're showing that you think we will accept it. We might appear to accept it, but it's because we're busy with our everyday problems, obligations, and responsibilities. But if you goof us too much, we're going to react to it, and we're going to let you know. That's right on up to presidential level.
Mm-hmm.
We're letting the president, people let the president know. Look, we want to know about Vietnam, we want to know about this, that, and so forth. So surely on an entertainment level, radio stations, they're going to let consultants, radio stations, and everybody else know what they agree with and what they disagree with.
Yeah.
One radio man said to me, "Do you really believe that it's left to the decision of people? It's left to their judgment?" And I said, "Heck yes, you know, most emphatically so. You guys might make the decisions at a given station. In this case, we're talking about radio stations. You guys might make decisions, but you are making decisions for what you feel and hope people will accept, and you will readjust your decisions based on their reaction to the result of your decision."
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say that they're beautifully powerful. They vote people into office, and the guy thinks that he has conned them. You know, the politician maybe will think that, "Oh, I got to think of the best way to get into office, so what should I say to them? How can I move them? How can I lie, or whatever means can I use to really persuade them?" And he thinks he has persuaded them. All they were doing, they were standing there listening to him and listening for truth and listening to the promises. And they in no way felt that he was going to accomplish all this. They were rather giving him a chance to prove himself, to prove his honesty.